good size, good speed, smart guy, guy that's a versatile guy, can do some different things, can help us on special teams, can obviously help us on defense. So, but he just got here, so we'll see how he does in our system, you know, moving forward here.
All right, that was Bill O'Brien over the weekend on Justin Reed, who, while not a first-round pick or a second-round pick, is the Texans' highest draft pick. And so he was in, I don't know what they had, pads or what. They were obviously in football apparel this weekend. And for more on that, let's go to the Buyers Barricades hotline, where our good friend John Harris, I'm sure, is rolling into work at some point later this morning. John, Mike, and Landry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How are we doing?
John, doing well. What was your biggest takeaway from Texans' rookie minicamp this weekend?
Well, number one was the fact that I got no sunburn because okay. We were only out there for about 25 minutes each day. So that was it. I'll tell you the one thing that stood out to me, Mike, though, because people ask me this a lot of times, especially like OTAs, and they ask me about offensive linemen or big defensive linemen, whatever the case might be, and they ask me about these players, and they're like, well, what can you really tell? Well, the one thing that you really can tell is body composition and how fluid of movement these guys are. Now, with some of the skill players, you can see how they catch the football, et cetera. Those are a few of the things that actually stood out in a short amount of time that we got to watch, especially the tight end. When you look down and you saw the tight ends, and you saw Javonte Robinson, who was a former basketball player at NC State, and you see Jordan Akins, and then you see Jordan Thomas, and you go, those dudes look like they should be playing tonight against the Warriors for the Rockets. They look like a bunch of small forwards and short power forwards. They are an impressive-looking group. And ironically, the one that probably looks, I don't want to say pales in comparison, but Jordan Akins is shorter than everybody else and a little bit smaller than everybody else. He catches everything thrown his way. And you just can see what the Texans were looking at and what they saw at the Senior Bowl in him. Just his hands, how athletic he is. And look, they're not, they're just running routes on air. They're not going against anybody. But you can tell how guys look with hands and things like that. But I'm telling you, Jordan Thomas, he cuts an impressive figure. And we were in the media workroom, and I've seen these guys, obviously, I don't know how many times. And so I've seen them through helmets off, so I don't know what they look like, face-wise. But I saw Jordan Akins come in, and he's got a little bit of a receding hairline. Obviously, he's a little bit older because he played baseball. And D.B. Sidney and I were talking, and she goes, gosh, the two Jordans are both tight ends, they're rookies. And she kind of joking about not knowing the difference. I said, look, you'll know the difference when Jordan Thomas walks in the room. And so the next day on Saturday, Jordan Thomas was one of the players that came in the room. And she walked over, she goes, I get what you mean now. Because they are so totally different from size-wise, everything about them. I mean, Akins being obviously a little bit older, having played baseball. But Thomas is really impressive, catching the ball very well. And then you talk about can run for a guy that's 270, 275 pounds. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Thomas is the one rookie that we remember out of this entire group, as long as he stays healthy, even though he was a sixth-rounder, because they're going to ask him to do a lot of different things, and he's got the athleticism to do a lot of different things. And so people ask me, well, why did he go in the sixth round? Because people saw him play wide receiver. That's why. And they couldn't project him into being a tight end. But in the sixth round, oh, you can project anybody into being a tight end at that point.
Justin Reed, obviously the first pick that Brian Gain has made as the general manager of the Texans. We all know about the versatility of the defensive line. How is Romeo going to use Clowney? How is he going to use Watt when they're on the field together? He's also going to have Whitney this year. But it seems like there's a lot of versatility in the secondary with Reed, with Kareem Jackson and some of the things they like to ask him to do. And, of course, with the Honey Badger. Is there such thing as too much versatility and too many toys to play with, and the fact that those guys are, maybe they can line up at safety. Kareem's obviously a corner, but can too much versatility be a problem for Romeo Crennel?
No, I don't think so. I mean, as long as you realize that everybody, and I think Bill O'Brien said this on Saturday, everybody's got to have a home. Like, what's your home base? And, you said a couple things there, Landry. First of all, Kareem being a corner, I don't know that Kareem is going to be a corner. I just don't know that he can be an outside guy. To me, the secondary should be split up into three positions now. It should be outside guys, outside corners. That's Kevin Johnson, and that's, to me, it's Aaron Colvin, and it's Jonathan Joseph. I think Aaron needs to be an outside guy for this team. Hmm. I think he showed that in the AFC Championship game when he had to go outside and cover Chris Hogan. And I think he did a great job when he had to cover Hogan one-on-one. I think there are inside guys. I think that's Kareem. That's Justin Reed. And then I think – and then they're your safeties, which is Tyrann Mathieu, Corey Moore, Tristan Dekou. And I think that's the way I would break up the secondary is like three different positions. Now, I know they don't do that. But to your point about having too much versatility, no, I don't think there is. I think as long as guys can do those things they're asked to do, that's fine. But if you're just moving guys around just to move guys around, okay, then it's an issue. But if you're moving guys around, it's a purpose. For example, and this is one thing I realized watching and studying Tyrann Mathieu, as soon as he walks in the building, he's probably the fourth best pass rusher behind Merciless, Watt, and Clowney. So you're going to want to use Tyrann Mathieu getting to the quarterback in some way, shape, or form. He's a menace, and he is excellent. Oh, if you use him to rush the passer, then you got to have somebody covering the slot. And if you're using Coleman outside, well, now all of a sudden you got to use Justin Reed on the inside, and you have that ability to do that. Or you can use Kareem Jackson on the inside. But then when you cover the back end, well, yeah, you got Andre Howell back there, and you've got Tristan Dekou potentially. Or you got Corey Moore back there, guys with some experience. So I think versatility is a great thing, but guys have got to be able to, all right, you got a versatile, you got Kareem Jackson's a versatile guy, but he's got to prove that he can do all those things. And just because he did them before doesn't mean he's going to be able to do them now. And the flip side is true too. Just because he didn't do them before doesn't mean he can't do them. And Aaron Coleman's probably the biggest one that fits in that category because everybody's like, oh, he's the inside guy, he's the inside guy. Well, yeah, that's what he did with Jacksonville. But when he was in Oklahoma, he was a pretty good outside guy too. So I think that's really where, to me, the secondary kind of breaks down. But I don't think there's just any, I don't think there's such thing as having too much versatility. But I do think there is. You can get a little bit too out of control, thinking guys can do things. They got to prove they can do them. Once they prove they can do them, okay, let's open up the package a little bit. And that's what Romeo was able to do with his defense in 14, 15, and 16. But we'll see if he's able to do with this group at 18.
John Harris is our guest here on a Monday morning via the Byers Barricades hotline, catching us up on what we need to know from Texans rookie minicamp. So in terms of the undrafted guys, can you give the fans like one to three names, especially at positions of need, guys that they should be tracking as they head into training camp in about two-plus months?
Absolutely. The one position that everybody has talked about for however long is punter. No, I'm kidding. It's tackle. And there is a punter coming to camp, and you know he's a big dude. It's funny because Drew Doherty talked all offseason. I know Landry was a big fan of Michael Dixon as well. And the punter coming for Tennessee, last name Daniel, he is actually from Dixon. So sort of ironic, the Texans did not draft a Dixon, but they get a guy from Dixon. But either way, he's a big dude. And Shane Leckler, I'm sure, is happy because that gives Shane his fishing and hunting days off when we're up at the Greenbrier. And so Daniel can pick up that punt team work when, you know, Leckler needs his fishing day off. But I felt like tackle was the one to say, okay, you only drafted one tackle. Well, that's because the tackle draft class was just not a great one. It was just not one in which you wanted to spend late-round draft picks on. And when you get a guy to $7 like Jermaine Kelly, you take Jermaine Kelly. But I thought Jerry Jones-Smith, it's funny because DP was trying to figure out, she was talking to me, she's like, okay, well, the big guy, she kept talking about the big guy. I'm like, big guy. And I go, oh, 72? She goes, yeah. And I said, Jerry Jones-Smith, he's an impressive-looking guy. Long arms, 6'7". He's a big dude. Now, he doesn't move exceptionally well, and he doesn't mash at the line of scrimmage, but I think he's going to be a pretty good pass protector. And if there's anything he did well, it's probably the one thing that he could pass protect. So Jerry Jones-Smith was an undrafted free agent. I like this running back duo they signed, LeVon Coleman and Terry Swanson. Swanson in particular, he's a dude. He ran with Kareem Hunt and was the complimentary back to Kareem Hunt before Hunt went to the Chiefs. And then finally the senior Swanson got all the carries, basically, and he was a stud. So I think Terry Swanson's got an opportunity. They're kind of a thunder and lightning combination with LeVon Coleman. He's 235 pounds out of Washington. He shared time with Myles Gaskin, but those two guys got an opportunity at running back, I think, to make this squad because once you you don't know what you have with Deontay Foreman yet. I think there's a pretty good feeling in the building that he'll come back. But you have Deontay Foreman, Lamar Miller, Alfred Blue, and look, you brought Blue back on a one-year deal. There's no guarantee he's making the team. I would almost guarantee that Swanson or Coleman or both end up making this roster at running back. You got Tyler Irvin coming back, but they don't really use him much at running back per se. So I think there's an opportunity for one of these guys to make the team. So those are two guys at running back to watch, Devon Coleman and Terry Swanson. Jerry Jones-Smith is very impressive at tackle size-wise. And then Davin Bellamy at Georgia, there were moments of just flat-out brilliance at Georgia. I mean, there were times where you went, whoa, this guy's a baller. And then there were times you went, hey, is Bellamy playing today? So if he can find that level of consistency, he's an impressive-looking guy. He is a really good pass rusher when he wants to be. Now it's a matter of, can he do it 100% of the time? If he does, he's got a shot to make this roster.
Talking to John Harris on Mad Radio. John, before we let you go, when is yours and Drew Doherty's Texas offensive player draft this week on Texans Radio?
It's going to be this week. I would imagine it's probably going to be a little bit later in the week. We got media days coming up on Tuesday, Wednesday, so we get a lot of time with the players, a lot of interviews and things like that coming up. So I'd imagine it's coming up on Wednesday. We had a blast doing our defensive one last week, and of course, you know, everybody and their brother was like, "Oh, you forgot this guy, forgot that guy." I'm like, "Look, we got spots for 22 guys. You know, you can't get everybody in there." But when it was an interesting exercise to go back and do, because you saw where players came from, you realized, man, Joe Green, North Texas, Kane Houston, Prairie View A&M, Texas A&I, we had two players from Texas A&I that are both in the Hall of Fame. So it was a really fun exercise to go back and do. So I would imagine Wednesday we'll do our one for the offensive players, and then we'll battle it out for two of the running backs that have come from the state between LaDainian Tomlinson, Eric Dickerson, Ricky Williams, Earl Campbell. We're going to walk away with two pretty good running backs, more than likely.
Yeah, and
I'm intrigued by that.
And if you get the right running back, by the way, I think you can bully Doherty's linebackers a little bit. He had some nice names, but between Singletary, Zach Thomas, and Nobis, I feel like they lack a little bit of size there. I think if you get the right bruising running back, you might be able to bully him a little bit.
John,
no doubt. I mean, a little bit of Earl Campbell and Eric Dickerson would probably – I mean, those two are probably bigger than his linebackers.
Probably. John, we'll catch up with you later in the offseason. I know you're on with Sean, Rich, and Ted every week. Thank you very much for catching us up on this weekend at Rookie Minicamp.
You got it, boys, and go Rockets.
There you go. For game one tonight, there's John Harris via the Buyers Barricades hotline on Mad Radio. We have a giveaway right now to win a pair of tickets to see ex-ambassadors at the House of Blues on May the 18th. So ex-ambassadors, and I think we have
What's your favorite jam of them?
That's a good question. They have some songs that I
What's your
know.
Favorite song?
I have no idea. I mean, what are you asking me this question? They do have a song though, right? That plays.
I'm sure they have a song that plays. Yes.
No, I mean like a big song that plays. Eddie, would you?
A big song.
They have a big song that plays. No,
I have like no idea.
Know. Yeah, they're a popular band. I just thought, I was just questioning your knowledge.
My knowledge is not in existence.
If it's not Darius Rucker, Wagon Wheel, Mike Meltzer has no clue about it.